Rappaport of the NFL Network called it interesting.
Doesn't, in fact, sound like John Gruden had him on the whiteboard for some time, really, as he is loving to do. Of course, the Gruden segments were decorating TV long before he became a head coach. Not really a surprise there. But yeah, the Oakland Raiders did have a pretty interesting workout with Kyler Murray in Highland Park, actually in the Dallas area. Not the only top quarterback they're going to meet with. Also going to meet with Dwayne Haskins and have him work out for them. That is going to be tomorrow.
Sam Mays is a talk show host in Oklahoma City. We've had him on a few times here on the station over the last month or so. He called John Gruden giddy over the Kyler Murray workout.
John Gruden's the most passionate coach in the game. He loves it. At every single level, I think he got giddy with Kyler Murray and sat there and just chatted it up for an extra hour and a half.
He has long been described, Gruden has, as the wild card in this year's draft because he's so unpredictable. It's so hard to know. And I know Mike Mayock is there, but let's call it like it is. John Gruden is the one who's going to make that decision when it's all said and done because he's so unpredictable. He's so, you know, he's the guy who traded Khalil Mack. He's the guy who traded Amari Cooper. He's who knows what Crazy John's going to do next, right? Is Sean Gruden just crazy enough to say, hey, even though I've got a pretty decent quarterback now, man, yes. I love Kyler Murray and I've got to go
get
him.
Yeah, because you know what happens when you hang on to average quarterbacks? Look at the Miami Dolphins with Ryan Tannehill. Look at the Detroit Lions with Matthew Stafford. You know, there is a negativity to hanging on to that. Listen, go for it. Like, there's a point where you realize you've got 5 years of Derek Carr. You've had 5 years of him. Is he good or not? Now, the Gruden may not have had him, but you've got 5 years of tape, 5 years of games. Seems like a decent quarterback, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. There are plenty of teams. Cincinnati's not winning the Super Bowl with Andy Dalton. They're not. It's not going to happen. Can win some games with them, but Dalton,
Stafford,
Tannehill, Stafford, there's a bunch of guys in this league. It's almost like, man, just, you want to, you know, if those fan bases want to get rid of those guys, they're okay. They're decent. They don't suck. They're not the worst quarterback in the league. Mm-hmm. But they're certainly not good enough to get you where you want to go. So if you've got the possibility to get to draft a kid who is that dynamic and that, and everybody's just falling in love with Kyler Murray and what he could bring to the table, you may want to roll the dice and take the chance. Because you may look right now, you might say, listen, I could hold on to Derek Carr, and in 5 years we're going to be in the same spot. He's going to put up some yards. He's going to put up some numbers. We're going to win 7 or 8 games. We might go 9-7 to make the playoffs. We're not going 13-3, getting home field advantage in the AFC, and winning the whole thing and going to the Super Bowl with Carr as our quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to think about because of the you got to look at those other quarterbacks who have been very average and the teams that held on to them for 10 years.
The average Derek Carr season, he throws about 3,900 yards. He throws about 27 touchdowns. He throws about 10 interceptions. He completes about 63% of his passes. He wins half the time or so, depending on what talent around him and how good that talent is. He's okay. If Kyler Murray has that wow factor, and if John Gruden wants him bad enough, the thing about it is that John Gruden does not control this process. The Arizona Cardinals control this process. And if the Cardinals' love for Kyler Murray,
there's nothing they can do,
equals that of John Gruden, there's nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do.
It doesn't matter that you have the 4th, 24th, and 27th pick in the first round. It doesn't matter that you've got one of the top picks of the second round. It doesn't matter that you could throw in future firsts if you want. There is, and I agree with you 110% on this, if the Cardinals feel that strongly about Kyler Murray, there is no price the Oakland Raiders can get to change the Cardinals' mind. What we don't know is if the Cardinals have that level of conviction about Kyler Murray or not. Because if they don't, they stand to make a killing off of Oakland if they don't love Kyler Murray.
Look, I don't know what they're going to do. But if you're sitting here and you're saying, all right, you're in Vegas right now and you've got to put odds, my odds are they're drafting Kyler Murray. At this point, I believe they're going to draft him. Now, you know, I'll talk to players and I'll talk to people and I can get a feeling one way or another, but nobody knows for sure. There's indications out there, but nobody knows for sure. If I was a betting man, I would bet that they would take Kyler Murray. That's what I would bet.
Would you bet a lot on them taking Kyler Murray, or would it just be a little bet, a little $20 just for some side action? Because that to me is that
I make. Is there a medium bet?
Sure,
it's a medium bet.
A medium bet.
A medium.
You're not much of a gambler, so no. My version of a medium bet and your version
is $1,000 a medium bet?
No, that's a pretty substantial bet.
Oh, okay. 500?
That's a pretty substantial bet.
It all depends on what your income is.
Well, why would anybody bet $20? Like, I don't get that. Why would you put $20 on a game?
Just to have some action on it.
So to what win? To win $8?
Yeah, but just because it
for what?
Gives you something extra.
$8? What am I going to do with $8?
Hold on. Before you go off and lose your mind.
Yeah.
You're the guy who can't watch a game without rooting for somebody.
Right.
It's the same thing. If I put $10 on a game, now I know who to root for. The team that I bet on.
So it gives you root on?
Because I might, yeah. Oh my gosh. It completely increases the amount of interest you have in that game, even if you have something as ridiculous as $10 on it. Look at these office pools we fill out for March Madness. How much do we put in for that? $10?
I don't do it. It's stupid.
Okay, but it's absurd. And yet, you root for your bracket like it's nobody's business. Because you want to win what everybody else is money, right?
I don't gamble, but
you don't understand the gambling nature.
No, I don't gamble. So I just like, but I guess I understand this point too. The more you put on it, the more you could lose,
right?
Yeah, and that's why I want to be in it to win a lot of money. But you know what? Hey, you know, you want to be in it to win a lot of money, you can also lose a lot of money.
However much you put on it is directly reflective of your level of confidence on it. For example, when I'm in Vegas and I go with my buddies for March Madness, okay, if I'm not that confident about a game, I'll just throw like $10 on it just to have a little action on it, just to give me a reason to kind of be interested in the outcome.
A little action.
If I'm really sure about something, I the most I would go is like $50 on a game. But I'm betting on a lot of games at the same time. Jordan, you gamble a little bit.
Not as much as I think you do, but I mean, I know some buddies that throw money around ridiculous on games that you wouldn't even think, why are you even gambling on this? And it's all to have a vested interest in it.
And that's all it is. It's not so much to win and lose, although
that's an addiction. If you're betting on like Lipscomb to win a game and you know nothing about them.
Come on, they're up 6 right now on Wichita State in the NIT.
They're covering. I mean, for goodness sakes, everybody knows Lipscomb is covering against Wichita State right now in the NIT.
You don't have any money on that game, do you, Jordan, the NIT semifinal?
No, I do not. I'm not like Bernsey's dad that will have exhibition games.
Okay.
My poor father getting thrown under the bus. So, if you're in Vegas, you're betting a decent amount that the Arizona Cardinals take Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Like, okay. I would, right now, today, I feel like they're going to take Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Would I be shocked if they didn't? No, I don't know. Like, I do think there's going to come a point where I'll know, but right now, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I would lean based on conversations, okay? Not based on anything I've read, okay? This is not nice, so I want to preface this. Not based on anything I've ever read, but conversations I've had would make me say I think they're taking Kyler
Murray. If that's the case, there is nothing the Raiders can do about it. There's no package they can put together. Even if you use the Jimmy Johnson draft chart and they go above and beyond what is equal and fair compensation for the number one pick, if the Cardinals think that Kyler Murray is that franchise changer for them, doesn't matter what the Raiders can offer. They can't do anything about it because the Cardinals will take him number one.
Casino in Vegas?
I don't know if they can offer that. We had Brock Heward on the show earlier today, our buddy from 710 ESPN in Seattle. He's obviously followed this Seahawks-Cardinals rivalry for a long time. We asked him point blank, Murray, Rosen, who gives Arizona a better chance to win?
Yeah, that's not even a question to me. It's Kyler Murray.
And here's why.
Everybody I talk to, and certainly everyone around the Seahawks, thinks they're going to be competing against a tremendous winner. I think that is what Steve Keim has got to look at in this evaluation. This guy elevates people. There were enough question marks with Sam Darnold last year, and then ultimately Cleveland came to their senses and said, you know what Baker Mayfield does? Elevates everybody around him. When I said and was hard on Josh Rosen with you guys and everybody last year, what was my number one complaint? The guy doesn't elevate people around him.
And he believes that Murray does. It's for him. And he even used a phrase, and I love it.
Brock is not a fan of Josh Rosen.
Fail fast. That's what he said. He was talking about...
We have a similar phrase.
If you have a mistake...
Don't compound your mistakes.
Move on.
Move on. Don't compound your mistakes by... And with same thing. Fail fast. Don't compound.
Fail fast.
You're right. If you made Steve Wilkes was a mistake, right?
Yep.
Don't try to bring him back for another year to try to, you know, make it work because you're afraid that you made a mistake. You made a mistake. It happens all the time. Coaches, GMs, everybody makes mistakes.
Just don't linger on it.
Don't linger on a mistake.
Move on. You make a mistake,
move on.
Yep.
Yes. Move on from your mistake.
We'll see if the Cardinals fail fast, or we'll see if the Cardinals believe that Josh Rosen is the guy, but it is...
I mean, maybe it's not even fail. Maybe it's just an upgrade, like you're upgrading. Well,
right?
No,
I mean,
Josh Rosen. It's not a fail. You like him, but you know what? You can upgrade. You can get something nicer.
Oh, wait, is it wrong to call it a failure? If they draft Kyler Murray,
you never gave it enough time for it to be a failure.
And move on from Josh Rosen, are you not at least on some level admitting you made a mistake in Josh Rosen?
But aren't, that's a great question.
Aren't you at some
you
level?
You made a mistake in Wilkes. He only had 1 year. Rosen only had 1 year, but Rosen had nothing around him. It's a very difficult question to answer. Are you admitting that you failed with Josh Rosen if you move on from him, or you're just upgrading?
I think on some level, you are. Maybe not on the, oh my God, we failed, we screwed this up. But if you're moving on from him from a year, after just a year, after moving up, giving up draft assets to get him at number 10, yeah, I think there's a little failure involved in that. Yeah, maybe not a lot, but a little.
Okay.
Okay. His major league debut, impressive. He gave the Diamondbacks bullpen a much-needed break. How happy is Mike Hazen that he didn't trade away John Duplantier last season? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
D-backs Ticket Window Tuesday opens.
Back she goes, and it is gone!
Now.
Final chance of the day for you to win tickets to go see the D-backs home opener against the Boston Red Sox on this Ticket Window Tuesday brought to you by Arizona Central Credit Union. Gambo, caller number, please.
7. Oh, no, did we do 7?
We did seven already, yeah.
Let's do 10.
Caller number 10. 602-260-9870. Caller number 10 at 602-260-9870. You'll score 2 tickets to the D-backs home opener against the Boston Red Sox on Friday.
Not a bad deal, huh?
Not a bad deal at all. We're also going to throw in a copy of MLB The Show on PS4. If you're not a winner, well, sorry, because I believe this was our very last chance right on this Ticket Window Tuesday. So caller number 10 here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You must learn.
It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
John Duplantier dropped a little knowledge on us earlier today. He and Merrill Kelly both got a beer shower in the shower last night after they both made their major league debut. Kelly got the win. Duplantier got the save. Duplantier admitted, I asked him about it. I said, did somebody pour mouthwash on you in addition to the beer? He goes, yeah, and I could kind of taste it.
Yeah. Mouthwash.
He goes, it was kind of minty and got rid of all the bacteria, I guess. So at least there's that when it's all said
and done.
Could
have been worse.
I couldn't tell who it was, but you just see the Diamondbacks sent out a video of it. And if you want it, you can see it on their Twitter account. And all the guys are jumping up and down and spraying them with beer or whatever. And somebody comes in with a bottle of mouthwash and just starts pouring it all over Duplantier's head. Both of them made their debut last night. In fact, for the first time ever since the save became a stat in 1969, it was the first time that two guys making their major league debut in the same game, one got the win and one got the save. Their first time out of the chute.
Well, you know, everybody's
happy. That's kind of cool.
Duplantier is a great story, and we had him on, but I'm really happy for this Merrill Kelly. I mean, this kid who, you know, local kid, grew up here, went to school, you know, ASU, and then he's in Korea for 4 years, and you know, and then he comes back and, you know, he didn't pitch very well in the first couple of spring outings. So there was some concern, but he went out there and he pitched a gem last night. I mean, outside of the ball that Fernando Tatis hammered, you know, for a 2-run homer, I thought he pitched good. Got ahead of the count. He pitched well. Gave them 6 innings. Quality start. I mean, first quality start this year.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for him. I mean, because he's a good story, too. I mean, Duplantier is a nice story. He called his dad. His dad didn't answer the phone. Then he called his mom, and he was just shaking up, and he was trying to say, it's good. Go get dad. And she was all worried. What's wrong? And he said, it's good news. And
yeah.
I mean, it was a great story.
Here's what he said.
The D-backs called me. I was in the hotel lobby in Reno of a casino, so there's hundreds of people around, and I probably spent 3 or 4 minutes just crying by myself in the lobby, and all these people just wondering what the heck was going on. Did I just lose all my money? What? And so I tried to call my dad. He didn't answer the phone, so it kind of gave me time to really think, okay, what needs to happen now? Okay, dad didn't answer. Call mom. Mom might have her phone on her. So I kind of was able to take a deep breath, and I thought I was just going to call her and say, hey, mom, go grab dad. I got some news. But when I heard my mom's voice, all the emotions that I thought I kind of already taken care of, they came back tenfold.
And he said, I actually scared my parents when I called them to let them know I was getting called up.
I scared the mess out of my parents because I was yelling and hyperventilating. And, I mean, you could hear the tears through the phone. And she was like, John, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And I was just like, get dad. It's good. I promise it's good. Get dad. And put him on speaker. So I finally told him the news. I told him the son was going to be a big leaguer, and it was just nothing but screaming and jumping. I mean, I could feel them jumping. Wow. So it was amazing. I'll never forget that.
So great. I mean, when your kids do things that are amazing, I mean, imagine that your kid just made the major leagues. You're those parents.
Oh, I get misty eyes just thinking about
your
it.
Your kid just made the major leagues.
And not that my kid has a chance of doing it, because he does not, but I get misty eyes just thinking about what that phone call must have been like for that dad.
You know, when your kid got to go play college ball, you know, when my kids got to go play college soccer and college lacrosse, like, there are moments, you know, when my daughter got into pharmacy school, I'll never forget that day. Like, I was with you at Grand Canyon University, and we were in the middle of a segment, and my daughter Gabriella called and left a voicemail. And then during the break, I picked it up and I listened to the voicemail. And dad, I got accepted into pharmacy school. I was like, there are moments that as a parent, like, you're just so happy for your children. That must have been an amazing moment for Duplantier's parents to, you know, to be on the phone and hear their son say that.
I'm sure Diamondback fans are happy now that if there was any temptation, I don't think there was much of it, but if there was any temptation at all to trade Duplantier last year around the trade deadline when the Diamondbacks were still relevant, the Diamondbacks resisted that temptation.
Well,
they did not trade him.
I checked on it. Like, what would it take to get Machado? Duplantier, is he available? No. Wasn't available. Like, if they were going to get in on the conversation, that's what they had to bring to the table. Now, I'm not saying they would have got him, but any conversation with the Orioles on renting Machado for last year, you were going to have to show up and have John Duplantier at the table. Here's what we have. Now, it still may not have been good enough, but that's what you needed to at least get in the room and be at that table. And the Diamondbacks were unwilling to do that. He was not available last year. And we reported this, me and you, we reported this, that he was not available, so they weren't going to be able to get a rental with Manny Machado.
We had Torrey on the show. In addition to having Duplantier on the show earlier today, we also had Torrey Lovello on the show today for his weekly visit. And we asked him the plan for John Duplantier moving forward.
We haven't yet quite figured out what that game plan is, but, you know, he was brought here to throw those types of innings to give the bullpen a little bit of a blow. And I think I made the comment to allow us to get caught up or get stable down there. He did that yesterday. So where that lands him in the coming days, we're not sure. But we love what we see. He did exactly what he was supposed to do yesterday.
I got to imagine that's his job for now. They can hit the reset button a little on Thursday. They have an off day. I don't see him cracking the rotation anytime soon.
Okay, but what if, I mean, Cook has been terrible in his first two starts.
Could he be the long
guy? First two outings.
Could be.
Well, he pitched three innings. He can be a long guy. Obviously, he's a starting pitcher, so he could be a long guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you might literally sit there and say, well, what's a better option for us? Is it Cook or Duplantier? Now, you probably haven't given Cook a fair enough chance. You've only given him two outings. But maybe you just, you know, you give Cook another outing if he can't get it done. Like, it literally may come down to that. Like, you got to figure out which guy's better suited for you.
On the other side of the equation, here's Torrey Lovello on our show today talking about Christian Walker and how Christian Walker is absolutely forcing his hand to put him into some of these games.
A little bit. And he may be a surprise to the rest of the league, but not to us. He's been doing this in the minor leagues for the past couple of years. There's been some spurts of it when he comes up to the big leagues. And you know, when you have a young player that comes up and has to perform in order to stay, you feel like you got to go five for four, right? You get five hits and four at bats. It's impossible. And that's just the mentality that you feel when you are injected into a lineup and you know that you're here for a short period of time.
He is in the lineup again tonight, but it should be noted that yesterday Jake Lamb took a few ground balls over at third base, a lot of it because they had to send Vargas down to the minors to make room for Duplantier, and Lamb is kind of like the backup third baseman now behind Escobar, but there's no doubt, and Torrey basically said as much, you're going to see lineups in the future that have Lamb and Walker in it at the same time, because right now Christian Walker is giving you no choice in the matter. None if you're Torrey Lovello.
You got to play
you
him.
You have to play him.
Six hits, four extra base hits, two homers, two doubles, driving in runs. I mean, I'd love to see what the kid could do. Look, their offense has been good. You lost production with Goldschmidt and A.J. Pollock and even Descalso, and you're trying to make sure you make up for that production. And Souza's out, so you're not going to get 25 homers from Souza if he was going to have a bounce-back year. So, you know, you're looking for somebody to pick up the load. Right now, it's Walker. I mean, Walker's the guy, and Adam Jones. Those guys have kind of picked up the load right now, very early in the season, but you do get excited. What can he do if he gets consistent at bats? Maybe he can mash 25-30 homers.
If the Cardinals are truly going to trade Josh Rosen, then one report today that came out gave him maybe a little bit more leverage to get that done. We'll share that report with you next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on this Tuesday edition of the Burns and Gambo Show, it's time for the Coors Light What's On Tonight. Two games, 7 o'clock, the Kings at the Coyotes. You'll hear it on ESPN 620 AM. Huge game, one of three left for the Coyotes, trailing the Avalanche by 2 points for the final playoff spot.
I was just texting back and forth with my good buddy Jeremy Roenick, just going over scenarios, what we think is going to happen the last three games for Colorado, the last three games for Arizona. What does he think is going to happen? So I've just been going back and forth.
And, of course, the Diamondbacks back in action tonight as well. 7:10 first pitch. You'll hear that game here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The D-backs and the Padres, Zach Greinke on the hill for his second start of the year. The What's On Tonight brought to you by Coors Light, cold lagered, cold filtered Blue Mountain, as we welcome you back into the Burns and Gambo Show. I set it up this way earlier, and now that you know where I'm going with it, it'll be an easier, less awkward setup for it.
Yeah.
Been doing the show with you now for almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are some times when you report things as I am reporting this, I am hearing this, and you just come right out and say it.
Suns are signing Jimmer for dad.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
There are other times where you suggest things, and in part because you've kind of heard grumblings that this could happen, this might happen, or they're leaning this way, or they're leaning that way. And it's less of a concrete report. And it's more of a suggestion,
a hint
that these things can happen.
It's more of a, hey, I believe this is going to happen. I've been told this is going to happen, but I can't go with it. So here's kind of the way, it's basically a hint. There's a lot of people that have kind of caught on to that over the years.
Yeah. I'm not trying to give away your secrets or anything, but just understand that when we're talking about this Chris Mortensen tweet from this morning, I read it. And the first thing I thought of was, well, Washington's got the 15th pick in the draft and the 46th pick in the second round of the draft. And the second thing I thought of was you. And I thought that Chris Mortensen is a professional story breaker. You're a professional story breaker. All right. And I know that in the code of professional story breakers, sometimes you just suggest things. Chris Mortensen this morning on Twitter, quote, "One team that has been somewhat forgotten in the Josh Rosen talk, should the Cardinals select Kyler Murray, is the Washington Redskins, who are doing genuine due diligence on top rookie quarterbacks despite acquiring Case Keenum." And I read that, and even though he gave himself lots of outs, right? Lots of, should the Cardinals select Kyler Murray? The Redskins, who are doing due diligence on top rookie quarterbacks. He never directly says the Washington Redskins are interested in Josh Rosen. But there's enough hinting in there to suggest to me that somebody said that to him, right?
Yes.
Somebody that seed with him.
Yeah, you don't throw it out there. You don't throw it. And I do this stuff all the time, too. I mean, I'll say that there's five guys that a team is looking at, but I kind of know which one they want. But here's five, because if they don't get that one, there's these other guys are options, right? But I know which one they want more. And then as we get closer, I'll narrow it down. Okay, when he has two guys, it's out of the, then we can narrow it down to one. So there's ways to, but he's just throwing out there that, hey, don't discount Washington. Yeah, you don't come out with that unless you're talking with somebody and you've got some solid knowledge that Washington would be interested in Rosen for the right price.
Right. So maybe minutes is being a little bit of too much. Maybe I'm laying it on too thick, but certainly within an hour or so, NJ.com, Newark Star Ledger's website, NJ.com, NewJersey.com. Quote, "The New York Giants are facing a new potential bidder in the Josh Rosen sweepstakes should the Cardinals decide to trade the quarterback. ESPN's Chris Mortensen reports the Redskins could be in the mix for Rosen." This is one of New York's top papers, right?
Yes.
This is one of the top papers that covers the New York Giants. So within an hour, this tweet, this harmless, innocuous suggestion of a tweet, has become a story now in New York. Like, uh-oh, wait a minute. Washington? They might be involved?
Sure.
And that's... I don't know who gave that stuff to Chris Mortensen. I have no idea. But I know this. It benefits the Cardinals. It benefits the Cardinals that another suitor has potentially been added to the fray for Josh Rosen, because it takes a big spoon and it stirs the pot a little bit.
You know,
right?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much stirring of that pot. It's almost like, okay, the Giants, the Patriots not convinced Cardinals will trade Rosen. And then, the Giants, that they would be a good fit. The Redskins, they would be a good fit. We've already heard San Diego and New England and, you know, the Giants facing new bidder. And, you know, there's a lot out there. There's a lot being floated out there. And we just don't know, because we don't know that the Cardinals are offering him up yet. But I would think at this point, you've got to start to have some preliminary discussions with teams and just let them know, you know, that, hey, listen, there's a good chance that we may end up taking this kid, Murray. Not haven't gone through yet, but there's a chance we may take this kid. It's on the board. It's in discussions right now. So if a team is calling on Rosen, you've got to at least make them aware that it's a possibility.
Think now is the time to do that?
I think you've got to start getting, I don't think you do anything yet, but I think you've got to start putting some feelers out there to these teams we've talked about this, as we get closer. Now we're in April. Now we're in the month that the draft is in. As we get a little bit closer, you want to let these teams know that he's available. You know, you don't want to do it the day of the draft. You know, because these teams have the contingency plans and things like that. But nobody has made a move, whether it's the Denver Broncos or the Washington Redskins, to me, that would, the Giants or the Patriots or anybody has done anything to take them out of being able to get Joshua. Just because you got Case Keenum or Joe Flacco doesn't mean that you still don't need a franchise quarterback for down the road. It doesn't mean that. You've got a stopgap guy for a short amount of time. Rosen could still be in play for any of those teams.
Yeah, and there are measures that those teams could do to say, oh, you know what, we're tired of waiting on this Rosen thing. I'm going to keep saying this. I'm going to keep believing this. That New York Jets pick at number 3, man, that thing is going to get moved. And I think it's going to get moved well in advance of the draft. That's kind of the Jets' MO. That's what they did last year with Sam Darnold. They moved up to 3 well in advance of the draft. I think they're going to move out of 3 well in advance of the draft.
Remember, Buffalo moved up twice last year.
Right. And I think any team that maybe is getting fed up with the Cardinals' indecisiveness about what they're going to do about Josh Rosen might say, you know what, let's just deal with the Jets and go to 3 and we'll get Haskins there.
You can be like, hypothetically, if we were to move him, what would you, like, what do you think, what would you be willing to give up? I mean, you could
do that.
I mean, you could start, but you're so afraid of this leaking out. You know, you are. You know, you are afraid of it leaking out. But if I'm a team and I want to get Rosen, I don't want it out either. I don't want it out if I'm having these discussions. Now, I'm a little leery. I'm hearing 4 or 5 teams. I want to know what they're offering. Are they going to go first? Because I want to give a second. So, you don't want it to leak out either. If you are the Redskins and you're talking to the Cardinals about Rosen, you don't want it getting out.
Yeah.
Because then, the Redskins are. Because like you just said with the Giants story. Oh, it's out there now. The Redskins are interested too. Now you're the Giants. Like, oh, we like them. But all right, so we got to make sure we have a better pick than what Washington gives them. So that's the threat. But either way, the Cardinals are going to be able to get the best offer or make the best deal, whether it's the Redskins or the Giants or the Chargers or the Patriots. They're going to take whatever the best deal is.
Yeah. Brock Heward was on with us earlier, and again, reiterating what he said, and I got a lot of respect for Brock on this one. He said there's no question in his mind it's Kyler Murray over Josh Rosen. No question in his mind. And as you said, Brock's not the biggest fan of Josh.
No.
But he said, look, failing fast, and we talk about this all the time too, if you've made a mistake, don't linger on it, move on from it. He says that the good companies do that.
Amazing business, and I've got lots of friends that work there here in the Seattle area. They're headquartered up here, and one of their major tenants, and you'll hear it from their CEO and owner on down, is fail fast. They take tremendous risk. They have failed in different ventures. They have failed with different devices. But whatever you do, you better fail fast. The Seahawks are likewise. I attribute and give them a ton of success. Percy Harvin was a disaster. you know what? They gave him a first-round pick. They paid him a lot of money. Didn't work. You know, he didn't want to play. He quit on him. So they fired him. Matt Flynn, they gave $10 million to. Oh, my gosh. We're going to look like idiots. We gave him a lot of money. We got to make sure he plays. But this Russell kid's better.
Jimmy Graham.
Okay, well, fail fast. We made the wrong decision.
So like Amazon and like the Seahawks, if the Cardinals decide it's time to move on from Rosen, fail fast.
Move on.
Yeah. Move on.
Yeah, we say it in a different way. Don't compound your mistakes. If you make a mistake, move on. If Steve Wilkes was a mistake and you're like, hey, we don't believe in Steve Wilkes, get rid of him.
Yeah.
After 1 year, make a move. Move on. So I believe the same thing. You've got to not believe in Rosen, though, too. Like, if you looked at Rosen all year and you're like, yeah, regardless of how bad the wide receivers are, regardless of how bad the offensive line is, he's not reading the defenses the way he needs to. I'm not sure he's going to be great. Well, then, yeah, you can move on.
The Cardinals are in the continuing process of rebuilding their defense. They've got a new addition. What's his role? We'll dive into that coming up on this Tuesday edition of the Burns and Gambo Show.
Dave Burns.
I'm being serious.
John Gambadoro.
I'm serious.
Burns and Gambo.
You don't think I'm intelligent?
When have I ever said I don't think? Well, on second.
Afternoons 2 to 6, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Lost in all the Kyler Murray mania, the Josh Rosen mania, the speculation, the Arizona Cardinals did make another move, signing a cornerback yesterday. Tremaine Brock, 30 years old, reunites him with Vance Joseph.
Yep.
From their time together in Denver a year ago.
Literally just got back to everybody. Vance Joseph knows. Yeah, good move. I mean, obviously, we've talked a lot about the switch on this defense, how they're going to play with three corners now instead of three safeties. So having that extra cornerback is a big deal. Tremaine Brock didn't have a great year last year, but he's a veteran player. He knows how to play it. And you need corners. In this offense, you need corners. He's a nine-year veteran. He's had 45 starts. He's played in 103 games with Denver, Minnesota, San Francisco. So he entered the league as an undrafted rookie free agent, has made a nice career for himself. And again, playing in this 3-4, you're going to see three cornerbacks, two safeties, and he could be a slot cornerback for him.
Doesn't just reunite him with Vance Joseph, but also a couple of his assistants that he brought with him from Denver in the secondary, Marcus Robertson and Greg Williams as well. So your secondary now, Patrick Peterson and Robert Alford are your starters. You've got Brock as one of the backup cornerbacks. You've got Josh Shaw. They signed him a month ago or so as another backup cornerback. They've also got Jonathan Moxie, Brandon Williams, who's still there. still on that roster.
Not Brandon for
Williams.
Long.
There's Brandon Williams. Dietrich Nichols, Chris Jones, but mainly your main guys now are Peterson, Robert Alford, Josh Shaw, and now Tremaine Brock signed. But I got to imagine Brandon Williams, the clock is ticking. Jordan popped out of the room for a second, but I think he was telling us the other day that it was Pete Prisco and his belief, and I know you don't like these type of stories. Prisco's belief is that if he's going to regrade a draft, to be fair, you have to wait at least 3 years to do it, like to really know how good a draft was.
I mean, that sounds reasonable.
Sounds reasonable, right? 3 years.
Reasonable, yeah.
So he regraded the Cardinals' 2016 draft. He gave him a B or a B+ in the moment. He gave him an F when he regraded it because that was the Kandichi, Brandon Williams. Now, we've always been very fair. I think we've been very fair about that draft on this show. The second round pick in that draft turned into Chandler Jones. And you have to factor that in. Not that the player you would have gotten in the second round would have been as good or as impactful as Chandler Jones. We're not suggesting that, but that turned out pretty well, obviously, for the Cards and the production that Chandler Jones has put up. Now, just about every other pick from that draft has been highly, highly forgettable. Very low impact on this roster. I mean, just kind of a wasted draft year for the organization,
and,
really.
And what it hurts, honestly, is, I mean, what a waste of talent for Kandichi. I mean, that kid, like, Brandon Williams, okay, that didn't work out. You took a chance. Kid was had great athleticism, but he had no experience, real experience at that position. Kandichi was a freaking stud.
Yep.
Like, he was a stud in college. I mean, he could have made so much money in the NFL, but injuries and, maybe he just didn't love it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he'll be able to get his career turned around or not, possibly. But he's been the biggest disappointment because he should have been good. Like, he should have been a good player. And he hasn't been.
Should have been. The other news today out of football, and I was about to say the NFL, but it's not the NFL. The other news today out of football, the AAF has suspended operations.
Yeah, no surprise.
I read on social media, this according to Robert Klemko, and he's not the only one, but Klemko's a football writer over at Sports Illustrated. Others are reporting as well. According to a source, the AAF teams are making players pay for their own flights home. They don't even have the money to fly the players home after the season got canceled, the rest of the season got canceled, and the league folded before they could even finish year one.
Wow. Wow.
He writes on Twitter.
At 5 o'clock Eastern today, they shut down all operations.
He writes on Twitter, what a clown show this was.
Wow.
Man, the AAF isn't even paying for the players to get flown home. They shut it down today. And look, it's cold, but I agree with you 100% when it comes to your take about this. I don't know how many more of these type of leagues have to try and fail before somebody gets the message. It's just not going to work.
Just stop. Really, it's just a waste. These leagues don't get off the ground. They don't have the fan support. I think part of it, all honesty, is I think, you know, we have football August, September, October, November, December, January, February, like I think people, not that they're all footballed out, but like there's other sports out there. There's basketball playoffs coming up right now, and then the baseball season just started, and you know there's hockey going on, and playoffs are going to start. So there's other sports that like you want to turn your attention to. I don't want to be and the off season in football is enough to keep me interested. The draft free agency. I have enough of an off season.
Look, I know this will surprise you, but there are people out there, and I've spoken to them. There are people out there who football's really all they care about, right?
Yeah.
But I do think that, and I heard Vinny making this point earlier this morning, there is enough to keep track of in the NFL during the off season. That it's not like you need some second-rate league to give you your football fix in the offseason. You've got free agency. You've got the draft.
Combine.
You've got OTAs. You've got the combine. You've got mini camps. You've got training camps. Football, the NFL, has done a magnificent job of making itself kind of a year-round thing. I mean, it never really stops in the NFL. The news cycle, God knows, other than July, when players go on vacation and nothing happens before training camps. Okay, the news cycle kind of shuts down in the NFL in July. But then at the end of July, it's training camp time and it cranks right back up again. If you're a football fan, you don't need second-rate football to keep your football fixation alive.
Just
follow the NFL offseason.
I'm going to be honest with you. I said that I would watch a game.
Yeah.
And I did. And then I didn't watch any others.
I haven't watched a minute of it since.
I did watch one game. I wanted to see what it was like. The brand of football is not bad, but you know what I mean. Honestly, like it's just time wise. Like I don't have time for more football. Like I have, you know, like I got Suns and D-backs, and you know, you've got. I mean, it's just a lot of other sports going on right now to have a football season going on.
Here's
tough.
Here's how I think of it. And I don't know you. I don't know if you'll agree with this or not. All right. You go to the grocery store, right? And you walk down the soda aisle, okay? And there's Coca-Cola.
All right.
And there's Pepsi, okay? Nothing against Pepsi.
No Dr. Pepper?
Well, Dr. Pepper too, but Dr. Pepper's got a different taste than Coke, right? Then you see like the store brand cola, right? And you see the Fry's version of cola or the Safeway version of cola, right? The store brand of cola.
Okay. I don't know where you're going with this, but okay.
I just want a Coke. You know, I just want a Coke. I can tell the difference between a Coke and one of those store brand colas.
Totally.
Okay. Totally. Right.
Totally agree.
The NFL is Coke. The NFL is Coca-Cola. And anybody else trying to be a football league that's not the NFL is a store brand cola.
It's not a bad analogy.
Anything else is, you know, yeah. Dr. Pepper's in a different category. Pepsi's in a different category. But anything like your store brand, hey, here's cola in a can and you get 12 of them for $2.99. I don't want that. I want a Coke.
I want a Coke.
And if I can't have a Coke, then I'm not going to drink that store brand stuff because I just want a Coca-Cola.
So the NFL is Coca-Cola.
The NFL is Coca-Cola, and every other league that tries to be it is
just... What was this called? The AAF?
The AAF.
The AAF is store brand cola.
Store brand cola.
It's a good analogy right there. I'll buy that. Yeah, I'll take that.
I just want a Coke, man. That's it. A Coke's good enough for me. And if I want something different, I'll watch baseball and have a Dr. Pepper. Or I'll watch the NBA and have a Mountain Dew. You know, I'm not drinking the store brand cola. Just not doing it. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.